Late Night Gamers podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Steve, this game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson, what do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim. It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Late Night Gamers podcast, episode number 41. I'm Nick Perzanowski, and with me this week and every week is Steve Morgan.
I just had sex.
Tim Bad. And Charles Caldwell.
I don't even know how to respond to these openings. Oh, goodness.
Eat a pretzel, Charles. Eat a pretzel.
All right. Enjoy the crunch.
It makes such a loud noise.
Oh, you got those little pretzel things. God, shit. Damn, dude.
Just sister asked if I was trying to suck a dick.
It's your fiance.
Way too much information.
Yeah.
Alright, what's going on, guys? How's everybody doing?
I'm doing real fine. Just finished a beer. In like 10 minutes.
I'm bleeding. Sweet. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
This kid is maybe using up his premium game time in order to join the podcast. Hopefully his energy is focused on this like it would be if he was crushing in a game.
Yeah. Hopefully it's premium podcast time too.
Since I'm in excruciating pain, I'm very attentive right now.
How about you, Tim? Stroking your beard over there?
I'm sitting here, the same thing I've been doing for the past 12 hours.
I think that's melting
in front of a screen.
You've been sitting there for the past 12 hours? Are your legs extended?
Yeah. So that brings us into our first story this week, which is a man developed blood clots after sitting and playing PlayStation 4 for 4 days straight, and all he did was lay in his bed, and
well, not even it's misleading. The article is misleading because he played it for 4 days straight, but only 8 hours a day for 4 days. So it's not like he sat there for 24 hours.
No, it's not like he sat there for 24 hours or 4 days straight.
Wait, he played for 8 hours, 4 days straight? I feel like I've been doing that for 4 years straight.
Seriously.
I know, that's right.
There was a few things he did that were a little silly. Like he was sitting and he extended his legs and it didn't appear that he had moved, though. I mean, and he also was in pain and he didn't do anything about it, so that's kind of stupid too. It's like, oh, I have this pain in my leg. Oh, you guys will just sit here and suffer.
That's a hardcore gamer, man. You don't stop for nothing.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if your legs are swelling to the point of explosion.
Blood clots are for the weak.
Yeah. Part of me was like, well, duh, you're going to get friggin' thrombosis in your legs, but also, don't make this about video games. I mean, this could happen at any time. You could be sitting on the couch, sitting watching. They talk about binge TV watching all the time. They're like, oh, it's watch-a-thon week. Oh, we're going to binge watch Game of Thrones for 24 hours. Well, what's going to happen?
they didn't call it Game of Thrombosis.
Game of Thrones, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess the issue is that the guy, he sat there for 8 hours a day for 4 days straight with his sitting on his bed with his legs straight. Like, I mean, normally when you sit in a chair, like, at least the lower half of your leg is bent, and you have some relative movement. But he just sat there for 8 hours straight without getting up at all for 8 hours. Impressive on its own, you know. And then I think it said after the second day, I forget what day it was, but he started to feel pain, and then he just continued to sit there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously, after you start feeling pain in your leg, you're like, you know.
You may still sit there, but you'll adjust. You'll, like, scrunch up or something, and you don't feel pain anymore, but obviously this guy was like, nope.
So, I mean, what really annoys me, so this happened in New Zealand, so for whatever reason, the doctors decided to call it gamer's thrombosis, which, like, is that really necessary? Like, it does. How much of this has to do with gaming?
Right.
Or this guy just sitting here? Because, I mean, literally, he could have been doing anything. I guess, you know, if you sit on your bed, there's only a few things that you could be doing. But they decided to call it gamers thrombosis. And then I think the worst part is the fact that NBC News picks it up and, like, sensationalizes it even more to be like, oh, you know, they call it PlayStation, you know, the title of the let me see if I can find it, the
PlayStation
exact title
side effect dangerous blood clot doc says.
Oh yeah, that's so stupid.
like really, you know, and I think they just did
like,
it
paints this picture that you like sit down to play PlayStation and you're just like, I feel a little funny, I have blood clots.
Yeah, it's like some parent is like, oh, I'm not going to give my kid a PlayStation. It can cause blood clots.
Yeah, and it's like, it's like this diagnosis brought to you by Xbox.
I feel like if they could have, they would have said Nintendo side effects, just because it's like how old school these people are. They don't even, they probably don't even know what Xbox is, or they hardly even know what PlayStation is.
Right.
These are people from years ago who are like, hyping this thing up that really is not anything at all. And you know how many moms saw this, like, oh my god, and they're gonna go grab the kids' PlayStation, like, you can't play this, you're gonna get blood clots.
Yeah, they're gonna take it away and go type in their blogs on some mom website.
I learned today that my kid can get blood clots by playing PlayStation 4. The things they don't tell you at these video game companies, it's very upsetting.
Terrible.
It's stupid.
Well,
it's friggin' dumb.
What is good is that a clinic has just opened in Washington State that's for video game addiction / porn addiction. Like,
yeah, because those are the same thing.
Mutually exclusive, apparently. I don't understand it. So anyways, the first US gaming rehab clinic opened in Washington State. So it's basically people go, and it's not just video games, it's like internet addiction, and they, for some reason, every single person there who has an internet or video game addiction also has a porn addiction. I don't know that I agree that that's actually a diagnosis there.
What I thought was hilarious is that it's a men's only clinic, because the one time that they brought in a woman to be at the clinic, I guess the director said, she immediately started hitting on the guy that was showing them around, and it was a client. It was like one of the other clients, and so she's like, "Nope, can't have that. Porn addiction, video game sluts. Nope."
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
yeah. I think this is it's just it's a sign of the times, but really we have the ability now to fully, like, immerse ourselves in games to the point where it can become an addiction. And, I think the fact that there are other places like this, like, around the world, like, especially in other countries, like, I know Korea and China have like, a very big gaming addiction problem. So these have existed there for a while now. But it's mainstream enough now in America that we actually have one. But I guess to put it in perspective, there's only 5 people who
it was very, very small.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's not as mainstream as...
And the rationale behind it was kind of... It seemed kind of hazy to me, too. It's like the woman was talking about how... I mean, I can understand how they talk about just physical contact, but then the science behind what she was talking about was like, when you're in the presence of somebody, you get these chemicals, and these chemicals help you develop well socially. It's like, oh, I can understand you needed socialization, but really, this is your, like, chemicals, your limbic system, huh? What are you talking about, lady? It's just, it was kind of strange.
If you have a chance to read it, I love Vice anyway, because they always have awesome articles and cool show. But if you get a chance to read it, it's a really good article on Vice's website. But they go pretty in depth to the whole psychological aspect, and the few people that they do talk about, they show kind of that there's a lot of different, you know, they come from different backgrounds. Like, one guy was kind of like an alpha male dude who you know, suffered like it was like a sexual assault or something, and then he went to video games because it was kind of like a more, you know, it was a you know, I think you see this a lot in situations where people lose control. They feel like they have control of their life in a game. So it's like a, you know, something they can fall back on. And for him, gaming was all about being that alpha male in the game, like getting the gear, you know, leveling up and just being really good at what you can do. And then in the other case, there were a lot of other people who, for them, it was like a social outlet. You know, they could go and talk to people online, and it wasn't as anxiety-inducing as doing it in real life.
Yeah, but I mean, what the woman was saying is that even though you can connect with somebody online, it doesn't necessarily stimulate your brain in the right way, so it doesn't satisfy your emotional needs or something to that effect. It was just like, okay.
I want to play that giant chess game that they had. Yeah. It was like the chess pieces were like 5 feet tall.
If I win, do I get to kill you?
I feel like those would be used as weapons.
Yeah.
Very early on.
Express it with your feelings. I'm gonna move the pawn and crush your face.
I did find it interesting that it seemed like a lot of the patients there were referred to the clinic by family.
Yeah.
And friends. And I mean, like, I guess that happens a lot with, like, rehab-type places, but I truly doubt that anyone...
I'd love to see a video game on the show Intervention.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, speaking of people who spend a little too much time... online.
Oh, jeez.
And to some extent, wait to no end, it. Double Agent Neutral Pandaren, you explain this, Tim. I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, it's a guy, his character's name is Double Agent, and in the newest WoW expansion, they added a race called Pandaren, and when you start out, you're neutral, so there's two factions. There's the Horde and the Alliance, and you know, if you're on one side, you can't like talk to the side. They're kind of like the enemies. So when you start out as a Pandaren, you are neutral, so you don't have a faction yet, and you level up to, I think it's like level 15, and then you eventually choose whether you want to be Alliance or Horde. But this guy made it his goal to level all the way up to 90 without choosing a faction, so. I think we first heard about him, like, I want to say almost like a year ago, or like, it was a long time ago, maybe not a year, but, so anyway, so he has slowly been leveling on the starter island, so like, so all the neutral Pandaren, like, they can't mix with all the other characters, like, they can like, message each other, but they're stuck on this little island, so all the highest level content is like level 15, so to get to level 90, you have to like, grind and grind and grind. So the way he did it was by picking flowers and mining and using like gathering nodes, which you get a little bit of XP from whenever you do it. So he just like grinded those from level 15, or I guess level 1, all the way to level 90. And I can't even imagine the amount of grind that took. But
that sounds terrible.
Yeah, I guess I don't think he I think he did all the quests he could, but then when he got to it, and like killing creeps, but when he got to it, he couldn't gain experience from them anymore, and then he did the herbs and ore, and the last thing I saw that he harvested was an earth root.
Yeah, God. I mean, it's only a couple hundred XP, or maybe like up to like 1,000 XP, and I mean when you're in the upper 80s, like you need like millions of XP to level. So
I don't even think it was that much. I think on the news article I showed in the image, it was like 70 experience. So he must have been just blisteringly
either that or set up like a bot or something. But even then, that's just
reading the article, it sounded like he's part of like more than one person, groups of people that just want to stay neutral. They don't want to join sides. That's the point of the whole game. What's the matter with you?
I saw a lot of. Can he queue up for PvP and stuff? He must not be able to.
He can't.
No,
he can't do anything.
So I saw a bunch of comments that were saying that Blizzard should allow him to leave the island now. Like, yeah. They should make it a special case and just have him, like, teleport somewhere else.
And he's gonna have he's gonna have nothing. He's gonna have, like, he's gonna be leveled up, but he's gonna have, like, shit gear, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his armory profile, he has all, like level 10 whites, you know, just really shitty gear. But, I think in the end, he's the Leroy Jenkins of the new WoW generation. You know, he's gonna be infamous from now on, just like Leroy is.
Leroy Jenkins.
He must have like 500 million stacks of copper ore, like in some. His server must be like completely like all the like low level harvesting stuff must be just like dirt cheap in his server.
There's just copper everywhere. He just drops it and then just sits on the ground forever.
Like he can't even put it on the auction house. So it's like.
Yeah. You just destroy it.
It must be deleted.
Or you could mail it, right, to...
There's no mailbox, he said.
Oh, God, he has to destroy it then. Or he sells it. I wonder if he sold it and just got, like, a ton of... to vendors and just got a ton of, gold.
Who would he sell it to? The other
sell it to vendors for, like, one silver
copper.
Oh,
I see, yeah.
Or no, he could play both auction houses, like, make alts and then give it to his alts and then put them on either faction. And just like constantly ship
that would be even more work. You gotta level up a character to level up whatever 10 each time for to sell anything.
Yeah,
to sell copper ore.
You just give it to newbies, be like, here's like 20 stacks of copper ore.
Yeah, I'm level 90, bitch.
Dude, how much would you shit your pants if you spawned into the game as a Pandaren and you just looked over and there's like a level 88 guy walking around and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, anyways. It's a little ridiculous.
Well, that doesn't sound like anything I'm going to do this summer at
that,
all.
That like just, the thing is, like, that makes me feel so much better about all the grinding I did in the World War. Because I'm like, man, I was grinding so hard to get my guy to 90, and I'm like... Dude, that guy must have literally been grinding like 12 hours a day for a year or something, like just to do that. That must have been insane. Anyways,
I can't imagine.
Oh.
Terrible.
What did they do in their job? Like, how do they live?
There must have been so many like fireworks shot off and WoW for him and stuff when he.
Well, I guess when he finally hit 90, there was like a raid of everyone just started. You know, fresh Pandaren and went there and watched him hit 90, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you look at the picture and there's 8 groups.
Wow.
No, full raid, yeah.
That's embarrassing. But, well, there are some games out there that, I mean, there are some things out there that are more worth your time, which... several of them I think you can find in the Steam Summer Sale.
Steam Summer Sale!
I mean, the Steam Wallet Raper.
Hey, they are wicked good prices.
So
but
many
you
games
just...
of, like, wallets being absorbed. But...
I haven't seen any games I want to buy yet. So...
Dude,
probably because I already own them. Yeah. But...
I've seen a few, like, for me, it's going to be, like, really cheap, and then I'll be like, alright, I'll buy that. But there's a lot of, for, like, big name games, you can get a lot of games for a lot. I mean, for a decent discount, which is pretty cool.
Anything worth it for people to look into, or?
I mean, there's a lot of old games that I would totally get just to have. You know, like old classics. Like if you haven't played already, like now's the time to buy it. But at the same time, it's like I feel like the Steam Summer Sale. For me, I always end up buying like 3 or 4 games and I never play them. I'm like, why did I spend that money? But at the same time, it's like I'd rather buy it now than wait until the price goes back up. I don't know.
Too much to play. Not enough time.
There's so many games that are so good that I don't know what to buy. That's the problem I have. I'm like, I get this, I get this, and then I'm like, I just get so flabbergasted. I'm usually like, okay, I should just not buy any of them because I'll buy them. But I've got.
They do have Ghosts for $30. So.
Damn. that's $30 too much. If they had Ghost for like $5, then I might like not contemplate it. Right now they have Bioshock Infinite for $7.50, but there's been a lot of deals for that game on, so I guess that's not really.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, there's been some pretty good games. And then like they have these like they have like flash sales. Oh, I don't know if this is a bug, but I see Dragon Age Origin right now is 125% off. It's -$7.05. I've got to buy this right now because it's I think it's gone. I think it's been removed.
I just saw
that.
No, it's still there, but it just says add to your wish list. I can't actually buy it.
They probably caught it really quick.
125% off.
I want it. I want $7.50 for it.
It still appears in my search item. And yeah, Dragon Age Origins, Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age the Ultimate Edition. Dragon Age Origins is -501. And Dragon
Can
Age
you buy that one?
Let me see.
This is hot off the press, people.
I can't buy that
podcast,
one either.
It'll be long gone.
Yeah. It's too funny.
God damn, dude.
You can't even buy it if you wanted to.
Yeah, it's just not, it's not, like, it doesn't, I'm sure they killed
it. Yeah, they probably just took it down immediately, like, oh shit. But somebody must have taken advantage of that. So if you do, if you know somebody who has,
Tweet at us.
Yeah, let us know.
Damn.
I wonder if they have it on, it's an EA game, right? I wonder if they have it on Origin. I wonder if this is their sneaky way of getting people to go on Origin instead. Like, oh, what? It's...
Yeah.
If you give me $7, I'll go on Origin.
Let's see if I can do it via the web browser.
That's so funny. Community's choice, previous winner, Dragon Age.
God, it doesn't work via the. I don't think it works via the web browser either. What cock tease? Well, anyways,
that's terrible.
Steam Summer Sale, YOLO.
Yep.
They also had Borderlands 2 for like $5 at one point, so that was pretty...
Yeah, it's both sweet and bitter, because I look at some of these games and I'm like, what? I paid like almost full price for this like not a month ago. I know Nick, you've experienced this with many titles, so...
Yeah, oh yeah, PlayStation Plus, that's a problem, is like they actually give you good games that you would have bought at full price... And so, like, I bought Trine 2, the whatever full edition or whatever on PlayStation 4, just so I could play it with somebody else. And, yeah, like, 2 weeks later, it was like, Trine 2, free on PlayStation Plus. And I was like, God damn it, that's $20 I just spent for nothing.
Yeah.
But
Gone Home right now is $2.99.
I still gotta play that.
I'm just saying, it's usually $20, so.
I also like how they have voting, so like you basically go and vote on which set of things you want to go on sale next, which is pretty cool.
Where's that?
So there's some democracy to it. If you under community's choice, so you can basically, it's like a set of four games that people vote on.
Yeah,
like they have a block, and you either choose one or the other block, and whoever votes more for either one gets chosen.
Oh, sweet. So they can have a choice. Nice. I'm voting real time right now. Contagion.
Anyway.
You don't want to just listen to Charles vote for things in the Steam Summer?
Charles, what are you voting for now? So our final story this week is the was posted on the Washington Post is that a U.S. college just became the first college to offer video gaming as a varsity sport, and that's at Roger Morris University, I think, in Chicago. And so they're offering it's for one game only. It's for League of Legends. They're looking for players to play for their team. They have a coach. They practice. They have uniforms. Like it's all like just like a regular varsity sport. And there's like you can get scholarships for it, which is ridiculous. The it's just crazy. Esports went from questioning the question of legitimacy, and now it's like the first step towards becoming completely legitimate.
Yeah, more than the first step. Jeez, it's crazy. It's like becoming mainstream to a serious degree.
I think to some degree this is probably like a publicity stunt for the school, because I don't think any of us ever heard of whatever it is, Roger Morris in Illinois, like, you know, some no-name school that has suddenly gotten a lot of publicity out of this.
Right.
And then also, I mean, you know, it is pretty significant because they're offering up to 50%. They'll pay half of your tuition, half of your room and board. Like, that's pretty big, you know, if you're a good League of Legends player. But I feel like the pool of people that would apply for this is pretty limited. Like, I mean, I don't know how many people there
League
are.
Of Legends, why not Dota? Come on, guys.
Well, League of Legends has a lot more players than Dota for sure. So I understand the reason for going with League of Legends, but
Go ahead. I was just saying they were saying that there's, you know, 27 million people that play League of Legends, and I think in the article it said that Roger Morris had already gotten like 70 applications, which, like, obviously,
yeah. I'm gonna apply. Jeez.
Yeah, why not? You're in Chicago already. You can go there. You have to. You only have to just. You just have to be like constantly working toward a degree. So yeah.
We'll whatever. Sit there for like 10 years.
I'm still working toward my degree.
Every other term.
I think it's, you know, it shows kind of like, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself because we have no idea if this is going to like catch on. It will probably never will, you know. I don't think we're going to see like Boston College and, you know, Harvard and stuff start announcing League of Legends teams now, but you know, I think that it, and to some respect, it kind of shows the maturity that I think gaming has reached, where a school is willing to go out on, you know, far enough on a limb that they would create a varsity League of Legends team. Like, that's just, like, if someone said that, you know, even 2 years ago, people would be like,
they must have a hardcore gaming population to that school to have that interest that they think they can make it work, because otherwise it's like, Nobody would come to the games. They would be a total drain on the school.
Well, I mean, do you think the NCAA is going to start sanctioning these events? Like,
no, it would be the game. Why would it be in the NCAA? It'd be a video gaming authority.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, how obviously now, because there's no other school that has like a team, but, you know, do you think we'd get to the point where, you know, every school would have a team?
Yeah.
I think this has to come down to like game dependency. There has to be like a game, and I don't think League of Legends or Dota or anything are like on the level yet, but there has to be like a game that's like so big that like everybody plays it. I mean, think about sports at like schools that get cut. That, like, baseball got cut from UNH when I was there. Like, that's a sport almost everybody knows how to play, and that got cut. Like, it needs to be popular that, like, you know, that like everybody plays it.
If America's pastime can get cut from a Division I school, like,
it's just tough. Like, I mean, I definitely think it will happen eventually, but I think we'll be pretty old before it happens to say that.
Yeah, I think that's a good argument against it. It's kind of like, you know, especially when it comes to major sports like that, they've had, you know, decades to really get things evened out and get it smoothed out in terms of rules and stuff like that, whereas with video games, it's a yearly change. You know, the top game is not going to be the top game. Right now, it will not be the top game, probably even next month.
So, will it ever be smoothed out for video games? I feel like that's just the nature of the beast. It's never going to be smooth.
I think maybe genre-wise it will, but, you know, we've seen, like, this MOBA genre really become, like, the leader in terms of competitive, you know, high-level competitive esports. And that has changed a lot over the past years. But just as of late, you know, you have League of Legends, Dota, you know, Heroes of the Storm is coming out. You know, they have there's a lot of push behind that type of game. So I could see that being the big one, but you never know if it's going to stay like that for more than a year, a couple months.
And I mean, I think the other, like, granted, schools have, you know, budgets and stuff, and that's why that's probably a big reason why, like, baseball got cut at UNH, but what kind of budget would this have, really? Like, I mean, apart from having, like, a gaming computer and, like, if they buy uniforms, like, there's not a uniform, really, like,
well,
that
tuition, room and board and things like that, if you actually want to get them to join.
But I mean, like, in terms of, like, track, there's a huge track and tons and tons things.
Computers,
basketball has a...
They've already got the space, and they've already got the chairs to display the monitors to display this stuff.
Yeah, but you need standardized computers or, like, you know, whatever else. I'm sure there'd be all kinds of costs. I think, to, like, be like, completely realistic about it, I think it's much more likely to occur in somewhere like South Korea or, like, another place like that. And then it'll be something where, like, universities in the United States, like, sort of become involved in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then if that becomes popular enough, it will
expand. It'll become part of the foreign exchange program where the players would compete internationally rather than nationally, maybe.
I just think that, like, the U.S. hasn't really hit the level of, like, some countries in, like, the popularity and celebrity of, like, gamers, right? Like, in some countries, like, StarCraft 2 is, like, the best thing ever, and there's people that, like, have full-time jobs. And, I mean, there's some people in the United States like this, but I just think, like, there's gamers that people know in other countries, whereas, like, here, it's not as popular competitively, and I think it's, like, changing a lot, but I mean, I can envision that, like, a school over there, you know, in, like, Seoul or something is, like, really popular. They have a lot of games. They start playing each other, and then, like, you know, United States, like, you know, like, somewhere here is like, oh, we want to get involved. They start playing, and then it expands like that. I don't know if, like, it's just going to, like, pop up in the middle of the United States and then start going off, right? Hmm. I mean, that's clearly what they're trying to do. I mean, it is happening, so I'm not, like, I guess being pessimistic about it, but I guess I'm just being more, like, realistic. I feel like it's tough to, like, just start, like, you know, to have, like, MIT just start a, like, gaming league. It's like, okay, it's tough, right? There's no one else to play.
Right.
Yeah, I think, you know, we kind of grew up in a generation where if someone said, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to a sanctioned League of Legends event or any sort of sanctioned gaming event, people would just laugh at you.
That's true. That is very true.
You know, I think as new generations go to college, I feel like it's much more likely that we'll see this sooner rather than later. But I think the big thing is going to be, like, having it break onto the scene. I don't know what the evolution is. I don't know, like, if it has to go through, like, the college scene before it becomes, like, a mainstream thing. I would think it would have to become, you know, a mainstream thing before it hit college. And, you know, maybe one day we'll watch League of Legends games on TV, you know. I think when that happens, then it will be mainstream. But I remember seeing, I think it was on Reddit or someone was, like, just talking about, you know, it's like a screenshot from 4chan or something where a guy called like Buffalo Wild Wings to ask if they had, you know, some League of Legends match on there, and the guy just, like, laughed at him, like, we don't show that kind of stuff here. Like, you know, I think that there's kind of, like, a stigma around video games. You know, it's like this nerdy thing, and, you know, I think that in order for this to happen, gaming needs to overcome that. And that's a much bigger problem. That's something that, you know, has kind of been, you know, years, you know, decades even in the making. So gaming has to dig itself out of a pretty deep hole before we get to the point where it's like a mainstream thing that, you know, you start seeing people on TV or, you know, celebrities and stuff like that.
And I mean, I think we're getting closer to that point, because, I mean, you look at Twitch, and Twitch has however many millions of, you know, viewers and streamers. And I think I read in the Washington Post article that a vast number of the people on Twitch are just watching, and they're not even, you know, they're not even the ones that are streaming. And they stream, like, and the streamers sometimes can get up to, like, you know, tens of thousands of people watching at one time. You know, I think it's almost like, you know, it's almost like this generation is seeing a whole new sense of media. So it may not be on television, but neither is Netflix. And Netflix is becoming its almost like its own network, you know? And so I could see Twitch becoming kind of that kind of gaming network, I guess. But
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, I think that this generation is kind of like a transitional generation. They're like sort of seeing this become born. And, well, I mean, if it keeps propagating in the trend that it's going, I think that you're completely right. I mean, things are changing and people are... It's like watching video games is not as weird as it sounds, you know, now. Like, I can easily say I'm going to watch a Dota match and people will be like, confused, but they also won't, like, you know, it's not like... What it would, like, if you said that 10 years ago, like you said, that just would have been completely mind-boggling.
They would have relegated you to, like, a weird subset of the...
That would have been, like, ultimate nerd status. Like, yeah. It would have been, like, a question. So, yeah, I think you're right, and I think that, you know, this in a way is going to be, like, I think, in some cases, I think, like, YouTube and, like, and some of the things that we have now are going to be, like, the nostalgia for this generation. Like, with, like, how we look at, like, Nintendo was... You know, like, they're going to be like, yeah, I remember I used to watch YouTube and there was no ads on everything. And, you know, I used to watch, you know, PewDiePie. Like, that's going to be, like, their nostalgic stuff.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, I think that in a way of being, like, there's going to be a lot more people and it's going to be a lot more popular. You're going to be, like, it's going to be, like, you're going to be that hipster. You know, this generation is going to be like, yeah, I was watching people stream video games back before it was cool. and things like that. So, I think it's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, to echo what you said and kind of revisit what I said earlier, I was kind of using television as the indicator for success, and I think, at least with our generation, we're kind of like the post-TV generation where, you know, a vast majority of people don't even have cable. You know, they live off Hulu and Netflix and stuff like that. You know, so I think that... using that as a means of success probably isn't the best looking forward. You know.
Yeah, we're definitely an app generation.
Yeah.
For sure. But
web, the browser based generation, because I do everything on the browser, seriously.
Yeah.
I don't know about apps, but I mean, because my phone can only handle so much, but if I can do it on my browser, then I'm gonna shift that to my monitor, and then I'm gonna shift that to my TV, and I'm gonna use that in any way I can possible. It's like,
well,
it's like Minority Report. I'm just throwing stuff around, putting it on screens.
I mean, it's apps on your phone, but like even all these like cable, these little like Apple TVs and I don't know, all those other little TV boxes that can
Google
stream
Chrome
stuff.
Device.
Yeah.
Chromecast,
yeah, that's it. All those little things have app, like, you know, 200 different apps for whatever.
So many, way too many.
Way too many, and they all do the same fucking thing.
Yeah, it's like a Fox News app. You're like, why does this even exist?
So you can hear about the last time that Obama threw up in the Rose Garden.
I bought an Apple TV a long time ago, and then I saw a Chromecast, and it was only $35, and I was like, this is, like, the worst impulse buy ever, but I gotta buy it. So I have both now, but...
No, I have Chromecast on our television, and I use it for... Our landlords gave us the sign-in for their HBO, so nice. we use HBO Go and watch, like, you know, all those shows and stuff, but it's kind of sweet to have in... Because, like, I mean, in the living room, I have my PlayStation hooked up to the television, so we can watch Netflix and all that other stuff on that. But then I can hook up the Chromecast in the bedroom, and it's like,
yeah,
it's sweet. Anyways, this is like way off topic from what we were talking about, but
not especially. I mean, it all comes back to all the different ways you can use technology. But
yeah,
that wasn't even what we started with.
Don't care.
Okay. It all comes back to technology.
It all comes back to that like third thing that we were talking about. But I mean, it does. Okay, I got your back, Charles. It does come back because, I mean, it's just like, this is like, you know, the popularity of video games and to be able to use it and stream it and for it to be, like, in part of our everyday lives is directly related to varsity sport. I think you have to have popularity. And, like, also schools in general, like, colleges are, like, they're like a business in that, like, everything needs to be, like, pretty. Everything needs to be, like, what they call sexy. It needs to be cool. And they need to be able to sell it to not only, like, the alumni that's, like, donating money, but also to, like, the government who's going to probably, like, partially fund these things. So, like, it's really hard for them to sell something if it's not absolutely popular. And when it is, then I think it'll go right in. You know what I mean? It'll just be a part of, like, it'll just be like, oh, you know, this game is super popular, this system is super popular, everyone's doing it, everyone talks about it, it's like completely accepted as competitive, and it's accepted as, like, you know, like a chess club or whatever, and it will probably start as, like, a club, and then it will sort of, like, evolve and do something super, if it becomes super popular, then, you know, schools are, like, lobbying to get students to play against each other because they want to have the cream of the crop. You know, it's just like, this is why college football is so popular in colleges. Because they, like, it makes them so much money. I mean, come on, it's, like, not really about the guys, like, going out there and playing football. It's, like, about making a shit ton of money. So,
and you know we're on the right track, because video game has its own concussion stuff. It's got gamer's thrombosis.
That's true. I was actually thinking, like, you know, they probably wouldn't have to spend as much money on, like, insurance and you know, like, rehabilitation for injuries and stuff like that. But at the same time, they're probably going to have to deal with, like, a lot of
obesity.
Not really.
Eye strain.
Right.
Heavy glasses usage. Lots of food. Gamers will need lots of food. Different kinds of food.
They can just convert their basement into, like, you know, the basement of some old building into, like, the new gaming layer.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I'm gonna go to one of the I asked a question on Twitter today, and I said, what does everybody think of video gaming becoming a varsity sport for the first time out of college? And the only response that I got back was at Phaser3D said, I think if they let me major in drinking, I'm ready to become one of those non-traditional adult student things.
Well, Phaser3D, I don't know if you know about my life, but I'm about to get a PhD in drinking, so...
Well, I said, my response was, don't most college students isn't it required of most college students to get a minor in drinking anyways?
Yeah, seriously.
Like, at least...
I mean, it's probably.
I got my minor my second year. I was on the 2-year program.
You got your associates and.
No, I got a full bachelor's in 2 years in drinking.
It was an accelerated program.
No, yeah.
Well, you took some AP classes in high school, I think.
And yeah. No, it was a summer program, I believe.
He did his thesis on tortellini.
I think that was an appendix, but...
Anyway. So I think that brings us to our top five this week, which is the top five potential weirdest college gaming leagues or ideas for leagues and competitions. I'm going to let Charles start this off since he...
Sure, I put on the Lego Game Stud Collector on one-on-one tournaments because when we were playing, Nick and I were playing Lego 101 after we climbed Mount Mansfield, it was just ridiculous how many things you can destroy in Lego games to gather what I guess, like, I call them coins, but they call them, like, it's the technical term is studs. It's ridiculous the amount of things you can collect, break, and destroy and collect. So I was thinking a tournament that would be entirely based on how many you can collect versus the other player would be silly. And you could go run the gambit of all the different Lego games.
Yeah, well, like, it's one of those things that it's certain. I think certain things give you a lot more studs than other items do. Because I definitely exploded. Like, we've had this conversation, but Charles got like 10,000, and I had like 20. And I was like, how did this even happen? But like, it just in general, any kind of like collection game or like. where you're just going and collecting things.
The equivalent would be a Hungry Hungry Hippos tournament. It's just, really? So you're going to do that? Okay.
Yeah, terrible. No, nobody wants to collect anything. Number two.
I'll do this one as well, because I had the concept for exactly... I had exactly what the concept was for this one. I mean, Halo obviously is an extremely competitive game with all the players, but there's a component to Halo that I always loved that we competed against each other was, when I played with my friend Nate, was who can get the most number of team kills in single player while still being able to complete the mission. So you'll bash your teammate in the head, and then you'll play the mission. They'll respawn, but you got to keep it going until you complete the mission. But that would be a ridiculous, weird league idea for a college. Just stupid.
I feel like, yeah, you'd have to add like time limit or something. Yeah. Like the, if you like, you're higher ranked if you finish sooner.
Yeah.
With, you know, like you have to wait like kills and time.
So ridiculous. This actually reminds me. This is sort of off topic, but I was playing Mario Party 9 the other day with my housemates, and there's a certain like point in this game where you get like a Bowser score or something, and you play a mini game, but the purpose of the mini game is to lose. So it completely like changes the whole strategy. Like, the problem is we got one of the ones where it was like something shakes and then it smashes you, so we all were just sprinting to it trying to get smashed by it. Like, this, and so like whoever was closest to this thing got like smashed immediately. But anyways, I thought it was awesome. It was such a cool idea. You're like dodging coins, you know, like.
That's funny. Like...
That's awesome. Number three.
we're just staring at Charles like.
All right, I'll do this one too. Sure, I put down this one as GoldenEye. It's you can only fight with hands or slaps, the karate chop that we use in deathmatch. And
didn't
no
it
weapons.
Sound like?
Oh yeah, totally did.
It's
like
whoosh.
Yeah, yeah. And like, hands only.
And put everyone's health up to 900%.
God. Everyone's odd job, lower, smaller target.
Yeah. I always loved it in that game, and it's definitely slaps. It's not a melee of any sort, no. Because it's, I mean, he has like an open handed, just like, I'm gonna karate chop you in the neck. Like, that is all, yeah. I do.
And judo chops for days up in here.
Yeah. The first game where it's like, you're just like, oh my god, what is this melee attack, really?
So bad. That was before, like, before first-person shooter games had perfected melee of any sort.
Yeah.
And, like, it didn't make sense. It was like, I have a gun in one hand, and instead I'm gonna slap you with my open hand. It's like,
I still think this is by far the most ridiculous top five we've ever done on this show. Like, I just want you to imagine right now that somebody's going to college and he's playing in a league against other colleges that's GoldenEye slaps on. This is what you're saying right now.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's why I put it down here. It's just ridiculous, weird college gaming league ideas, yeah.
This is like the top five worst ways to get a girlfriend in college.
Like
GoldenEye slaps only.
I like the picture, like a bunch of people in the bleachers, and like whenever their guy slaps them, like,
oh, he just missed him. You see like the little health bar go down, you're like,
Damn, dude. I can only wish.
Charles, just do the next one.
Yeah, just go. This is Charles's top five.
All right. So the next one we got was one that actually Steve said when he saw this. He was like, "Really, you're gonna do Minesweeper speed runs?" And I was like, "That's a great idea." So we wrote it down.
I like your little in parentheses on our show notes right now.
Yeah, poop.
Ah. Not the poop one.
Yeah, I put that down. There was, because I was thinking, what could make a Minesweeper speed run as a collegiate event more ridiculous? Commentators, like, you're just like,
he's going around there. There's flag. He's flagging down that mine.
Oh, he hit a three. A three. Oh, this one's a four. Okay, chances are increasing that he's gonna not get this one.
I can picture how they have the down lines now in football. They have like markers like, oh, he's definitely gonna hit a bomb here. Like, we already know where the bombs are. And, like,
they'd have like an algorithm. It'd be like you know, in poker when they have the percentage chance of him flopping what he needs. It'd be like the little percentage sign over all the squares. Like, you know, oh.
And that they have like the mind, like the sweeper picture, and then his little picture in the corner, and you can like see like beads of sweat dropping down. And he's like, oh, if you're gonna click, and then they like zoom in on the mouse as he moves over to click on the thing.
Like. it'd be great.
How many minds would it be set to?
It'd be like you start in the kiddie league with a little tiny minesweeper, junior league, larger minesweeper.
10
maximum
minds.
League, the biggest minesweeper that takes up the whole screen.
I have never Googled this, but I'm sure someone has like speedrun this in like 20 seconds, so it's probably just absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, like, people are ridiculous.
Yeah. If you basically anything you can think of that seems ridiculous to you, someone has done.
You know what would be really cool for me to do? I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna grind a level 90 and WoW as a panda in neutral zone. So yes, and that should be a rule of the internet. If it isn't already,
have you guys ever participated in like speed run type stuff?
No. You have to do some of that for the GoldenEye. I unlocked everything in GoldenEye when I had it, and some of those were speed runs.
I kind of wish they did that. Like they had those. Well, I guess they kind of do with trophies and achievements and stuff, where it's like, you know, complete a level within this amount of time. I remember back in college, I played Resident Evil 4, and I did a speed run, and I think I had unofficially had the eighth best time in the U.S. for like a very short amount of time.
Yeah,
because I beat Resident Evil 4 in like 2 hours and like 17 minutes or 2 hours and 20 minutes or something, which was ridiculous. But then they, like, other people figured it out, and they were down like in the hour range, and I was like, I have classes.
It's like the cheat to beat Zelda Ocarina of Time in what is it, like 5 minutes?
I heard about this.
Where they like they roll and then they kind of glide across the whole map, but then they go to one thing and they jump off, and then you can go to the town and you hit some glitch and you can get all of the pieces, and then it just skips to Ganon and you're like, I'm done.
Yeah, somebody like goes, yo, I just saw Zelda speedrun, Zelda 64 speedrun, it was 5 minutes. I was like, oh my god. What is it? I've seen the best. Also, now that we're on a tangent on speedruns, the Super Mario 3 speedrun is awesome, if you've ever seen that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like 8 minutes, but, like, it's amazing. The guy, he gets on the level with the cannons coming out of the ship, and he just never touches the ground the entire level, and he just gets, like, 99 lives. It's like, pa-chim, 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 pa-chim.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I love Super Mario 3, still one of my favorite games of all time.
I mean, it's legit, though. He just gets the flutes, and he uses the flutes, like, so.
Yes, there's 3 flutes in that game. Three.
Yeah, he grabs them all and he goes right to the end.
Yeah.
You only need two, but
the final and probably, I don't know, not the worst, not the best the game on here is the bowling league, but not the bowling you're thinking of, not Wii Bowling. Arcade bowling with the rolling ball where you gotta like spin it. They had those for other games too, but the worst one was for bowling because the ball, you can't really, I mean, a ball weight, what is it? They try to make it as realistic as they can, but you really can't control it, a 12-pound ball with this little spinny thing. So it's like, you're spinning it, it's moving like an inch, and you're like, and then all of a sudden it just rockets out, and you're like, oh, great.
Yeah, it's a total nonsense game, and I remember they had that game at the laundromat in our in Bristol, in our town, and it was just like, No,
yeah,
I would still play it all the time.
Decision to go play that game with the Blazers and Bubbles and the bowling game, it's definitely clear why we chose the bubble game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Ridiculous.
Well, that's our hypothetically most ridiculous top five.
If you got worse, if you got crazier ones, send us a message on Twitter.
Yeah. If you have a ridiculous top five, just give us a top five idea, and we'll fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
God.
At least Charles will fill in the blank.
Yeah. I'll just start going crazy. Like, you know what would be great for that? Yeah. Woo!
Oh my god, Ric Flair over here. Watch out.
Well, that brings us to the part of the podcast where we talk about what we've been playing. So, Steve, why don't you start us off?
God, what have I been playing?
Well, you just finished up some Dota right before the podcast.
Yeah, I got a rampage. I killed everyone on the other team, all five of them. Anyways, what have I been playing? I've definitely been playing other games. Let me think about this.
No. You've been playing Watch Dogs?
Yeah, I have been playing WildStar, but...
Watch Dogs, I mean? Sorry.
Oh, Watch Dogs? Yeah. I haven't actually played it that much. I did buy The Witcher 2 as well. And so I have a stack of games that needs to be played, and I feel like there's some other game that I played, but I can't think of it right now. I also want to update everyone on Steam sale. The price has now been corrected. It's now 75% off Dragon Age Origins. So we got fucked. We missed it out. We missed
it. Damn it.
So, I mean, after Steam summer sale, I'm sure I'm going to have a bunch of games to play. But
so did some people get it? Did some people get it?
I don't know or not. I mean, you could probably look on Reddit, I'm sure.
Reddit.
Nah, man, I've just been going ham and Dota. The problem is, like, also, I'm kind of, like, going through some, you know, I'm going to be gone, you know, on trips and stuff the next few weeks. And
yeah.
So I'm really trying to grind, you know, the Dota, the Internationals is kind of at the end of July, so I'm trying to grind as hard as I can until I'm trying to justify me playing Dota all the
time. Yeah, summertime is ridiculous. Like, it kind of really cuts it down on amount of gaming, for sure.
I've been pretty bad lately. I've been playing, like, in my office, and, like, everyone in my office just knows now. Like, I don't even try to hide it. Like, I'm just, like, they're talking to me, and I'm just like, yeah. I'm, like, sitting there, like, okay. Yep. And then they're like, you're not listening. I'm like, hold on. Nah, I just died. What's up? My advisor came in as alt-tabbed it. I was like, yeah, I can help you out with that. And then they're like, what'd you do? I was like, oh, I didn't die, so that's good. Anyways.
Tim, what are you playing?
I've just been playing a lot of WildStar. I've hit the cap, and so I've just been running, like, mainly adventures. You know, I still needed some better gear to do dungeons. It's pretty crazy. Dungeons in WildStar are basically, like, mini raid instances. They're, like, really, really hard. So, like, doing it with a pug group is just almost impossible. So, yeah, I've just been grinding in that. I actually just upgraded my video cards to... I had two NVIDIA GTX 560s, and I just upgraded to two 770s. So it's, a pretty huge frame rate improvement. So I'm at, like, 60 frames per second now all the time, which is, like, amazing. Just, I don't know. I can't even explain it. It's awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's about it.
Charles.
Still plodding away at Dark Souls 2. Hadn't really had too much time to play, but making slow progress. It's tough because it's a slow progress game, and I've only got a slow progress timeline for it, but it'll happen.
Sweet. I played some more Watch Dogs. It's, I enjoy it, I guess. it's fun. There's a lot of things to do. There's, like, racing and hacking and stealth and killing people and whatnot. It's like GTA with being a little less ridiculous, except for the fact that you're, like, hacking an entire city. But
yeah.
Apart from that, I've delved fairly deeply into Terraria.
Yes.
Okay, so I played Terraria before I went to bed one night, and then I went to bed, and then I woke up in the middle of the night and just picked up Terraria and started playing again. I was like, God damn it, what's the matter with me? Like, and I'm like, I don't feel like I've done anything.
Yeah, that's how it is.
I got to the top of the world and fought some harpies, and then got down to the underworld and fought some, like, wall crawlers and some of the other Viking zombie things. And
okay,
and I feel like I haven't actually encouraged any of the other like NPCs to move into my house, not the host, but the
guide or whatever.
Yeah, the guide. Yeah, that's it.
You have to build new houses for every new NPC.
Yeah, but yeah. The guide is dead, so.
Okay. it's irrelevant. It's so addicting, isn't it? I think the first time I played, I think there was like a 48-hour period when I first got the game where all I did was, if I wasn't playing, I was like sleeping, eating, or like or going to the bathroom, basically. And then in between, I was playing the game. Like I was like in my office playing, I was like going back to my room playing, I just couldn't stop. It was like unbelievable. It's addicting, man, and it's just like you said. You know, you go forever, and then you're like, oh, I only have copper armor. You're like, I have so much more to go. And you start digging more, and it's like you look at the clock, and like it's like 5 hours has passed, and you all you've done is just dig out this giant hole for no reason, like.
and then I dug a hole, and then I realized that I couldn't even get down it safely. Like a second time, I just fall to my death every time.
Yep.
Crap.
We had a lot of fun with that when it was like, you know, four or five of us all playing together, and that I think that made it a lot of fun because it was like a, you know, team effort. But I remember just spending like hours and hours and hours like just mining, building like giant things and finding dungeons and stuff, you know.
It's also fun too because you have like the world changes as you do things, like because you're other people are doing things. You come back, it's like a house. You're like, what the fuck?
We were kind of like on separate shifts, but we would meet for like a couple hours. But like you would log back in, there'd be like a giant like castle, and be like, holy shit, who built this? But yeah, it was fun game.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the end of the podcast. So thank you everybody for listening in today. Thank you at Phaser3D for writing in. Thank you for listening to our ridiculous top five. And thank you listeners. Thank you Tim. Thank you Steve. Thank you Charles. This has been Light Night Gamers Podcast episode 41. And we're going to bed. But it's actually kind of early, so we might not.
We're usually pretty late by the time we're a little geriatric.
Steve, this group sucks so bad and so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles,
what do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim,
it's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late night gamers.
We're going to bed, but it's actually kind of early, so we might not.
We're not going to bed. We're usually pretty late, but tonight we're a little geriatric.
Yeah,
geriatric. No, we just want to play video games after this instead of going being like, all right, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna play one match, and then I'm like falling asleep at the chair and like drooling and throwing up on myself, you know.
What are you doing that you're throwing up on yourself?
I don't know what happens. Like,
Charles is a giant infant. He just eats until he explodes.
Charles is eating until like food is like up his esophagus and touching his uvula. It's just like gag reflex.
Hey, at least it wakes me up.
That's true. You may die.
That's how hardcore Charles is.
Absolutely. Alright. Boop, 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 boop.
All right.